So I'm currently on the board of directors of the Mount Lyon Foundation, but I support a lot of other NGOs that are doing good work. And one of my favorites, of course, is Project Coyote, founded by Camilla Fox, whose father was a famous veterinarian, a canid veterinarian. And Camilla, his daughter, has done just great work for coyotes with her organization, with advocacy efforts around the country.
Welcome to The Art Box, recorded in our beautiful Mesquite, Nevada, and sponsored by the Virgin Valley Artists Association. Our association provides creative opportunities for all ages. Get creative with us at the Mesquite Fine Arts Center, 15 West Mesquite Boulevard, or find us online at mesquitefineartscenter.com or on Facebook, The Art Box.
I'd like to welcome Don Maldi, who is a, and Don, you are a, you got a title or anything here, or you just volunteer?
Well, I'm a retired physician. I guess that if I'm retired, I used to be a psychiatrist of all things, actually. Somebody has to do it, you know, so I did that for a living. But now that I'm retired, basically, I just do wildlife advocacy stuff. As I mentioned, I am a Mount Lyon Foundation board member, but I support coyote organizations as well. Anyway, I've been doing it a long time. It's an interesting topic because we may not have thought of it this way, but the coyote gets more press and more attention than any other wildlife species in Nevada by a bunch. And yet it's of little or no interest to the Nevada Department of Wildlife because it's an unclassified species, meaning it has no protection of any kind. The animal has no protection, and therefore people can do what they will with it. Even though the state should take an interest in the coyote, and there should be a coyote management plan for the state, because people are very interested in the animal, and some are concerned about the animal, but yet it's a matter of no interest to the department. So there is that irony about the whole thing. But yes, coyotes are everywhere, and we have them in my neighborhood. I have coyotes. I have a coyote coming through my yard every once in a while, usually every summer. Generally, they're juveniles, first year litter and that sort of thing. And people do have an unreasonable fear. I think unreasonable because we're talking about an animal that struggles to get 20 pounds on it. Generally, they're just opportunists, and they really serve an important function as nature's janitors, cleaning up stuff. They're well known for that. People in urban or suburban areas, you're right, do see them, and certainly if they leave out pet food or other food sources for coyotes, or if they have vegetation that allows for concealment, or they're just careless with their pets, that sort of thing, an occasional incident can occur, sure. But mostly coyotes are more afraid of us than we are of them, and little adversity occurs. There is one thing that's interesting to me. Las Vegas is the source of more calls about coyotes to the Nevada Department of Wildlife than any other part of the state. That may be partly because of the population. There are more people in Las Vegas, and the coyotes are everywhere. But also, what you may not be familiar with is that the trappers, the fur trappers in Nevada, have, in my view, had a deliberate campaign going for many years, particularly in Las Vegas, to demonize the animal and to scare the public as a way of deflecting pressure on the trappers from people like me and others who dislike the carnage that trappers create on public lands by trapping, among other animals, coyotes. And because, in a way, you could argue that fur trappers in Nevada have a hand in creating what we're talking about today. The coyotes respond to trapping and other forms of carnage against them by producing more coyotes, not less. And unfortunately, when we get into that situation, the coyotes produced tend to be juvenile males more than females without a home range or having learned how to make a living without bothering, you know, somebody's pets. And so we have this crazy situation where coyotes are among us, and to some extent what we complain about, in my opinion, is created by the very people who trap fur-bearing animals on public lands, including around Las Vegas. So I guess we could start there.
Yeah, and I read that in, I think it was in Craig Child's book, that the more you eliminate coyotes, the more babies they have. And it's interesting what you say, that then more of the babies, I guess the predominance of the babies are males.
Well, yes. Under those conditions that you're speaking, the birth rate goes up, and there tends to be more males than females under those conditions. Actually, I should give credit as well to the Nevada Department of Wildlife, because it, even though it has no management responsibility, it kills coyotes by hiring the federal government to do it. The Nevada Wildlife Services, which is our state's federal predator control program that exists everywhere in Nevada, and the Department of Wildlife hires wildlife services to go into areas to kill coyotes, primarily to try to create mule deer, on the assumption that somehow coyotes are a problem for mule deer fawns, and therefore the reason our state deer population has shrunk by 100 and some thousand over the last several years is partly because of coyotes. Doesn't turn out to be true. But one of their projects, which was done over by Caliente, not far from Las Vegas, over 5 years, was a dramatic illustration of what you've just mentioned. At the end of the fifth year of killing coyotes, the fifth year saw the Wildlife Services Program killing three times as many coyotes in the fifth year of a coyote killing program as it did in the first year when the whole thing started. And meanwhile, by the fifth year, the litter size had tripled because the Wildlife Services loves to kill coyote pups as well as the adults. And so the litter size had tripled by the fifth year, and there was a predominance of males. So let's give credit to the Department of Wildlife as well as the fur trappers for helping to create this mess that we're in.
Yeah, some credit, huh?
Yeah, it's terrible. In fact, on my next piece, which I hope Hugh Jackson will published in the Nevada Current, is going to have to do with this very same thing, this very issue. It's called Project 14 and 15 was the name of this five-year campaign that was done that produced these dramatic results. So yeah, there'll be more about it here shortly. Here's the flip side of the coin is that coyotes, by their very nature and genetics, prefer to live in a pack structure. They have a pack leader, the alpha male and an alpha female. And in a situation that's undisturbed, then only the alpha female breeds, any subadult females help to raise the pups, but they don't get pregnant. When we, through our crazy lack of management, destroy pack structure and prevent the animal from living in a peaceful manner, then all the subadults that previously didn't get pregnant are now available because they're out on the landscape cruising around. They're available to become pregnant and raise litters. The male tilt is there. These coyotes are not allowed to live in a stable environment and on a home range where they learn how to make a living without bothering anybody. All of this stuff compounds itself. And we wind up in the situation you and I are talking about. All of this stuff I'm saying is known. This is not unknown. This has been known for quite a long time. But yet the powers that be ignore this information. And the fur trappers, who don't want to be criticized for trapping, demonize the animal, even though they're a big part of this. So it's all... It's quite strange.
Yeah, it's quite sad too, isn't it? What do they do with their pelts, or do they just kill them and move on?
Well, the fur trappers sell the pelts. The fur trappers are out there from about November to March, mostly during bobcat trapping season. So some trappers trap bobcats, some trap coyotes, some trap everything. And those people are in it to generally sell the pelts. They get $15 or $20 for a coyote pelt. But the ones who just destroy coyotes, like in coyote killing contests that you have around Las Vegas or up here, those animals are just discarded. When you blow up a coyote with a 50 caliber sniper rifle, there's nothing left to salvage. You know, it's just a mess. So those animals are simply dumped in the desert somewhere and turned into a bone pile that some hiker comes upon and is shocked to see what and without even knowing really what it is. So both things. Fur trappers will sell the pelt, but coyote killers don't care about any. They don't salvage the animal. No, nothing.
Well, I guess suffice to say, for our suburbia dwelling folks, is to keep your pets close, have your gates and your fences in good repair, keep brush away, and then just enjoy the serenade that you get sometimes in the evenings or mornings.
Oh, absolutely. All of those things you've said are correct. Furthermore, coyote advocates recommend putting things like coins in an aluminum pop, bottle, like a Diet Pop can, and shake so that it makes a lot of noise when it rattles. And if you carry one on your dog walk, and if you see a coyote that you think is somehow misbehaving, you can shake the coyote, the can at the animal. By the way, coyotes in urban studies are more likely to cause trouble for small pets, as you might expect. Large dogs are not generally a problem with respect to coyote approaching or depredation, but small dogs are more common to have trouble with coyotes. So if you have a small dog, 15, 20 pounder, little chihuahua or something, keeping the animal on the leash or being careful, particularly if you're out and about or, in the evening hours or in the early morning hours around your house. So small pets are more of a risk. Although the eastern coyote genetically is different from the coyote we have here in the West. It's larger, may have more wolf genes in it, and may be a totally different creature than our little 20-pounder, 25-pounder. And I would give credit, by the way, to the Department of Wildlife for one thing. The Department of Wildlife does have a good program that is available to homeowners associations and civic groups about how to live with coyotes. They have a couple of urban or suburban specialists. I've forgotten the exact name title that the department gives them. But these up here in Reno, it's generally a couple of women. They are really good at talking to groups and saying, you know, here's the way to coyote-proof your life if you're worried about the coyotes. And they go through the whole thing. They have a whole program. They have PowerPoint presentation. They do a really good job. That is the only thing that the Department of Wildlife does trying to help public out with coyotes. And I must give them credit for that. These folks that do this for the department really do a good job. And anybody in Las Vegas, any homeowners association, whatever, that might want to avail themselves of that service can just call up the Department of Wildlife and ask for urban, suburban specialists to appear, and they will.
Well, Don, I really appreciate it. Thank you so much.
The Art Box would like to thank Fred Bell for his Coyote soundtrack recorded in Death Valley National Park.
Broadcasting from the Mesquite Works Steam Center in the scenic Mojave Desert, the Art Box sponsors thank you for listening. You can find us on Spotify and Amazon Music. Please subscribe so you don't miss an episode. We welcome all comments. You can email us at artboxvv@gmail.com. The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are those of its hosts and guests and do not necessarily reflect those of the Virgin Valley Artists Association.